You're listening to The MemoCast, brought to you by Wreck-It Magazine.
Oh, yeah.
That's very sexy, Michael.
I do what I can.
Yeah, well, you should do more and more often. Speaking of doing more and more often, you should write more often, damn it.
Damn, like, everyone is busting my chops.
I'll put it to you, it's like, if there was a guy who could make rainbows magically happen, but he never did it, we'd all be pissed off. That's what you're doing right now, Michael. You're denying us, you're denying us our fucking rainbows.
I'm sorry, a lot of it has to do with the fact that I think I'm a shitty writer, and so people are like, you need to write more, and I'm like, why? Why do you want to read my shit?
You realize that everyone thinks they're a shitty anything.
That's true.
Except for, like, Kanye.
No, fucking, I wish I loved myself as much as Kanye loves Kanye.
I feel like if everybody loved himself as much as Kanye loved Kanye, the world would be a much different place. Not necessarily better, but different.
Yeah, very different.
And welcome to the latest episode.
Hey, boys and girls, guys and gals, and everyone in between. It's, what, episode 21?
Yes. I thought I told you to stop saying that.
Not as much. It's only been two episodes.
Okay. Fine, you win.
Yeah, I was going to suggest this episode be like our Drunkapalooza episode where we get, like, hammered and just be drunk.
It's sober October. We have to wait until at least episode 22.
Well, there's that, and I also went to a party with Art on Friday.
Yeah.
And I drank, and I can only, like, sip half of, like, a woodchuck, like, hard apple cider, and I was just like, no, I'm done. I can't. Like, I didn't get drunk, but it was just, ever since I went to the hospital when I had alcohol poisoning, I can't drink.
Yeah. See, here's the problem. If we were to do a Drunkapalooza, I would drink significantly more than you and just make it more of an ass of myself.
Yeah.
Because in the time it would take you to, like, nurse your beer, I would have an entire six-pack. You done yet, Mike? You done yet? I start getting physically abusive. Come on, little man.
It's okay. I had to deal with drunk Art.
Yeah.
And he spilled a drink on my brand new shoes.
Aww.
I tried to clean them up as best as I could. But, like, this is the shoes that I bought that one day we hung out.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, we went and I only worn them, like, five times.
Yeah.
And then I told him, that's it. I'm cutting you off. We're done. Like, you're done drinking. And he goes, okay. And then we're going out to the car and he's carrying a full fucking beer out to my car. And I'm like, what are you doing with that? You're not bringing that in my car. And he goes, oh, you're right. And then he chugs the entire thing and just throws it in the grass. He goes, all right, we're good to go.
Fucking drunk Art. Not even I'm that bad.
It's pretty funny in retrospect.
Yeah. So we have some news. What's his face? Benadryl Conundrum, Bandicoot Cabbage Patch, or Eggs Benedict Arnold Cucumber, or as some people like to call him, Benedict Cumberbatch, has been cast as Doctor Strange.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm on my quest to never call him by his name, other than that one time, so people know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, you're, like, really upset about this. Like, you came into the room, like, and you were just like, yeah, they casted him. I'm really... Like, I posted it on your Facebook, and you're just like... I could feel the upset coming at me through the internet.
Like, my comment was, no care.
Yeah, you didn't even care enough to use proper grammar in your dismissal of my post.
And then I posted, it's big news, I just don't care for it. Mm-hmm. I had to, like, clarify it.
Yeah.
So you're like, Mondo, why do you speak like caveman?
I don't know, I... Really, okay, because, like... You made an interesting point, because I was going to call you out on just being, like a contrarian hipster douchebag.
Yeah.
But, like, you made an interesting point that this is a character you really love and that you really care about, and it's not the ideal casting you would like.
Yeah.
Which, I guess, is everyone's, like... I met this chick at the party, and she was really upset about, what's-his-face, Daredevil being Batman.
Yeah.
Ben Affleck. She was really upset about Ben Affleck being Batman. But I have to say, like, this is kind of the first time Doctor Strange has been in the public eye.
Yeah.
And I can understand why you'd be upset that, like, the person you, like, you'd want better casting. But I don't know. I have faith in that Benedict Cumberbatch will...
Well, I don't think it'll be bad, per se. I just don't have high hopes. But those can easily be turned around. Like, I could easily eat my own hat.
Mm-hmm. Or it's a nice hat.
It is nice.
Kind of has
CM Punk.
Oh, CM Punk hat. Yeah.
So I had to fix it because I realized it's hanging a little loose. So, I mean, I'm not 100% backing it, but I mean, I'm not going to hate on it. I'm going to say that I don't personally care for it. But, you know, as long as I'm not being extremely, other than making fun of his name, I don't really think I would do anything more than that.
Yeah.
You know, like, because it's like, I love Ben Affleck as, or the idea of Ben Affleck as Batman. No, people don't like it, so I don't want to be like that same venomous douchebag.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to stray away from that.
I don't know. I kind of want him to be, because, like, have you seen The Venture Brothers, right?
Yeah. I've only seen the first two seasons and part of, what, the fourth season?
Well, you know, because Dr. Orpheus is based off of Dr. Strange. So I would love to see it, like, I don't know, just because I love Venture Brothers, just to see it all hammed up like that.
Well, no, it's funny. My friend was, Bailey was like, clearly the only proper casting for this, for Dr. Strange, is Doc Hammer. And I was like, agreed.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been funny.
Yeah.
But, we'll see. Maybe they'll have Doc Hammer do a cameo as, like, a nod to his appreciation of the character. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Speaking of Venture Brothers and Adult Swim related properties, I was at Festival Supreme, which was headlined by Death Clock Metalocalypse, but also had Adam Scott there for a little bit. And, yeah, he wasn't announced, he was a surprise guest, and Eric Andre, who have all been involved with Adult Swim in one way or another.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
So that was that. Segue!
Master of the segue.
Yeah.
I wish we were a visual podcast, because every time I said that, I would want a little picture of you on a segue to, like, go past.
We're such masters of the segue, you would swear we were security guards in our day-to-day lives.
Oh, snizzity snap.
Jokes. We got them.
Uh-huh.
Just like groceries. That's another story.
My grandpa asked me today if we were a comedic podcast.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to lie to him. I was like, we say funny things, but...
He's like, are you like Comedy Bang Bang? I like Comedy Bang Bang.
I don't think my grandpa... You guys like Rhett Skelton? tell me you're like Rhett Skelton. No, grandpa, for the last time, we're not like Rhett Skelton.
Are you like Bob Hope, but podcast?
No, Grandpa, we're not like Bob.
we wish, but we're not. No. But, so it was a really fun event. Second year happening.
Uh-huh.
It's the comedy rock and roll festival put on by Tenacious D. Mm-hmm. And so this year's setup was different from last year. They moved it from the Santa Monica Pier to the Shrine Expo Hall. Or Shrine Auditorium and Expo Hall.
Okay.
Which is, like, part of USC. It's, like, their little, like, big auditorium in, like, this area.
I think Jack Black said he spent all his Kung Fu Panda money on Festival Supreme.
Probably.
I think it was one of the talk shows. He said he's like, yeah, I just spent all the money I've made from Kung Fu Panda, like, doing all the Kung Fu Panda shit. It's all, like, I don't have any of it anymore. It's all gone to Festival Supreme.
Yeah.
So.
Which is cool. I wonder, like, what's his ROI, you know? Seeing how, I mean, is he breaking even? Is he losing money? He's doing it because it's fun. I'm just curious.
Yeah.
Because it didn't seem extraordinarily, like, it was definitely full. There was a huge crowd, but... They had a vibe different from other festivals where I didn't feel I was too crowded and there weren't excessively huge lines everywhere. Like, even getting in only took, like, 7 minutes. I mean, I got, like, doors opened at, like, 12 or 1. I got to, like, at 2:30, and so it wasn't bad.
Yeah.
And I never really felt like I had difficulty getting to places because, like, they had a lot of the comedians inside the actual auditorium, and then they had... all the bands, for the most part, like, outside on the outdoor stages.
Okay.
So, like, you would go to the auditorium and watch the comedians. It was AC, cool lighting, great sound, and it was nice. So if you were tired from standing out in the sun, you could take that break.
Mm-hmm.
And so I saw Doug Benson, Kumail Nanjiani. I forget what his last name is. His first name is Arj, but he's really good. I saw Eric Andre, Comedy Bang Bang with Scott Aukerman, special guest Zach Galifianakis and Adam Scott.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, Drunk History. And one other comedian whose name I didn't catch in the beginning.
Mm.
And then as far as, like, music acts, I saw the Aquabats, Proto Men, Tenacious D, part of the Kyle Gass band, this band called The Upper Crust, who was actually a really standout act for me. And I'm trying to think who else. Death Clock Metalocalypse, of course. The State, which is, like, Michael Ian Black and a bunch of other people's old...
How was Death Clock? Did they do, like, the Gorillaz kind
of
thing?
They played a lot of, like, their songs from the show and, like, had the cartoons playing in the background.
Okay.
So it was actually pretty fun. But I felt... And this is one of the problems I have most people, at least the bands, all the sets were short. Like, nobody, not even Tenacious D, played for more than 40 minutes.
Hmm.
In which I feel like... They should have cut back or spaced it differently so that the bands could have played longer sets.
Okay.
and maybe had like less people or like less acts going on. Because for me, it's like I want to see like the comedians, if they play 20, 30, 40 minutes, that's perfect for a comedian.
Yeah.
But for a band, I feel like you're barely getting into the groove of it like 20 minutes in.
Mm.
You know, that's where you're really getting the sweet spot. So like for a band, like they're like already getting like they barely just got into the zone and then two songs and they're done.
Hmm. Was it comparable to when we went to Sunset Junction all those years ago?
Sort of, except I think a lot of those bands got longer set times, or they, like, had shorter songs. Like, you have to think about it, Tenacious D songs aren't short.
Yeah,
so when true. You're playing a 40-minute set, it goes real quick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in fact, the only, like, the Aquabats, like, didn't even really talk as much as they normally do. Like, they cut back on the jokes, you know, which is saying something,
mm-hmm.
you know? They even, like, made the villain fight really quick, so it was kind of like, it was, like, just done, like, within under a minute. Usually, they make, like, punny jokes and references and, like, so they didn't really, like, it was a great, they were tight. Like, that's probably one of the tightest I've ever seen them play, because they knew they had so little time to work with, you know. But overall, A-plus event, there, other than, like, that, like, I would say the big thing they need to work on is having a queue for the auditorium. Because people could come and go as they please, but the problem was that people don't have proper theater etiquette and would walk in while someone was going on trying to find seats, realize they couldn't, and then, like, just keep walking. But it's like, you're interrupting the comedian.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a big auditorium, so the comedian's probably not bothered, but you're interrupting people watching the comedian.
Yeah, maybe they should have had, like, a, hey, if you want to catch this comedian, you need to line up and be here at this time, and then doors close at this time, and like, you can't get in after that.
Yeah, something like with Anime Expo, where, like, you know, you have to wait in line for that panel, you know, and they clear everybody out, and then, so if you really want that person, there's no waiting three comedians in advance, like, you have to show up right before, so you kind of have to plan your day around it.
Yeah.
You know, I like that system.
That'd be interesting, okay.
You know, or say, like, hey, if you want, like, because people would clear out in between comedic sets, so what we did is we would always show up 5 to 10 minutes before, like, the act was, that we wanted to watch was going to go on. Because there's like 5 minute gaps in between comedians, so it's like people would clear out during those 5 minutes, and we just run to the front.
Oh.
And so we actually got really good seats each time.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, we were like second row for a couple, like for Doug Benson and Kumail, which was the closest we got throughout the whole day. So it's pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm hoping that it's something they keep doing, and I would love to see it at that venue again. It was a really nice setup. Great food trucks came out, you know. So I, like, granted, it was slightly overpriced because it's a festival. It was still good food. I didn't feel like I was paying $8 for a shitty burrito.
Yeah.
I paid $8 for a delicious burrito. So, you know.
Yeah.
Which is still more than what I would like to pay, but if it tastes good, I'm less angry.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Okay. So that's Festival Supreme. I'm going to have a write-up for Soundtrack 411. That's how they got in. So I'm going to give them a little plug. And, we're going to go into a break. We're trying things a little different. We're going to do 3 segments, if at least this episode and possibly the next, and see how we feel. So we're going to go into musical break. I don't know what yet. And then we're going to come back and do a new game. We'll see how often we play it in the future. But we're calling it Fantasy Crossover. And I'll explain it more when we come back. So keep it here, guys.
Bye, guys. Castles in the sun. Castles in the shade. Echo chambers at the media all attacks made. 7 station, 6 station, 5 down to 4. General information is compelled by overload. Fantasy one sound. Go on the way. They wanna take what you're feeling, they can pay. Fans and one sound, no other choice. They wanna limit what you hear to one voice. Just a general principle, here's how it runs. 4, channel 3, channel 2, down to 1. When something that's over, do you monetize the culture? Tell me who the bodies are and who the system falter. Fans and one sound, no other way. They wanna take what you're feeling, they can pay. Fans and one sound, no other choice. They wanna limit what you hear to one voice. The bands and down.
Yes. I was waiting for you to say something.
Oh, no.
And then I was waiting for you to say something like in regards to the awkward silence, and then I'm going to cut off all the awkward silence, and so when it starts, people here, you're going to bring us in.
Okay.
But now that I explain it to them, it's not as cool. Anyways, we're back. Musical break. Have fun. Today we're doing a new game we're calling Fantasy Crossover. And the way it works is each and Michael and I are each going to pick like a fandom or like a universe or whatever, and from there, like, we haven't told each other, so it's like a secret to each one of us, and then mm-hmm. we're going to pitch a crossover and how it would work, what would be the main, like, conflict and who would be involved. So, like, for example, if Michael were to be like, oh, Marvel, and I were to go, oh, DC, because that's the most cliche crossover you could do, we would be like, all right, well, major players are involved, how does it work? And I could be like, oh, you know what, let's do the Teen Titans, and Mike could be like, oh, hey, X-Men, blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah, whatever. So, that's how we're going to play this game. So, Michael and I each have our fandoms, so we're gonna go. So, Michael, what is your fandom, and
let's go. Mine is the Companions of Mithril Hall from the Forgotten Realms, Legends of Drizzt-Dûr'n.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Is there any more to the name, or is that it? I feel like I cut you off, like, in half the name.
Well, I was just trying to explain where they're from. Like, the Companions of Mithril Hall is, if you're not familiar, the R.A. Salvatore's Legends of Drizzt-Dûr'n book series is about a dark elf living in the Forgotten Realms Dungeons & Dragons universe.
Okay. Well, that worked really well, because I was originally going to say something else before... I had something else when I pitched this idea to myself in my head. I had a different crew, but then when I was thinking before the break, I thought... You know what? Because you had the trade right there, let's do Rat Queen. So it actually can work really well.
Okay.
Okay, so Rat Queens and was the Knights of Mithril?
It's the Companions of Mithril Hall.
The Companions of Mithril Hall is like the Knights. Yes. All right. So those are our two universes, teams, what have you.
I think we both went high fantasy with this. Like, one of us could have been like Ninja Turtles.
I almost went Power Rangers because I'm wearing a Power Ranger shirt.
Oh, okay.
But I decided, you know what, like... Because you had brought in the trade back, I was like, let's talk about Rat Queens, and this is the best way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we have our teams. Now, is it going to take place in the Rat Queens universe or more in the Dungeons & Dragons? Now, I'm cool with either. We just have to explain how it happens.
It takes place in Sigil City of Doors, which is a Dungeons & Dragons setting, mm-hmm. but it explains how the Rat Queens got there.
Okay. So we have our place.
Yes.
Now, what would be our conflict?
Okay, so what you have to understand about the Sigil City of Doors mm-hmm. is that it is a city that is mm-hmm. a giant ring.
Yeah.
It's a ring, like, almost like Halo.
Yeah.
And it sits at the base of the wheel of the multiverse.
Yeah. Well, that's why I assume, because it's multiple doors, that each door would take you to a different universe.
Well, there's infinite doors.
Yeah.
And you can get a door to any place in the multiverse or any other multiverses.
Yeah.
As long as you have an entryway and a key.
Yeah.
And so an entryway can be anything from, like, oh, hey, this archway, and the key can just be like, I'm going to throw a piece of junk through the archway and whistle, I'm not afraid of the big bad wolf.
Yeah.
And then it'll open up a door to wherever that goes.
Yeah.
So that would explain how both parties got there.
Yeah.
So basically, somebody on one side brings the rat... Well, maybe, like, okay, so someone's trying to kill the Rat Queens.
Yeah.
Or wipe, like in the current arc, they're trying to wipe out the adventurers in this town. And one of the ways they figure out how to do it is bring them to this place that they're not familiar with, mm-hmm. where they're probably going to get killed or, you know, just sent away somewhere so they don't have to deal with them anymore. So they send them to the City of Doors.
Yeah.
And Drizzt and his crew, I mean, they could be on one of their many adventures. They've crossed over into, you know... hell and stuff. They could be looking for Wolfgar again because he got captured by demons or...
Yeah. Okay. Well, we have who and we have the how and we have the where, but the why.
The why?
What they're there, but what's this central conflict that they both have to unite to deal with?
Well... I think the central conflict can be outsiders.
Okay. But what kind of outsiders? Like, any specific outsiders?
Well, in most mythology, outsiders are basically just, like, Lovecraftian horrors.
Yeah.
And I think that the, I forgot the name of the god, the squid god.
Yeah.
From Rat Queens.
But, yeah, well, I'm going to Google the name, but, mm-hmm. so that's the villain we're pitching. So, continue.
And so, basically, the squid god from Rat Queens is actually... This like outsider that is perpetrating itself as a god on their planet.
Okay. Okay. The god is Nurgoth or
Nurgoth. Okay.
Yeah.
So Nurgoth is one of the minions of Nurgoth brings the Rat Queens to this Sigil City of Doors, where his agents have, or more outsiders are prone to show up because, you know, there's doors to the outer, you know, beyond the planes in Sigil. So that his, you know, he can directly affect them there. And we'll say that, you know, the Companions of Mithril Hall, Drizzt, Wulfgar, Cady Bree, Bruno Battlehammer. This has all happened before everyone dies, by the way, because he's written the books up to the point where, like, half of these people are dead. And I always forget the halfling's name. The halfling thief. I always forget his name.
Well, the halfling is there. But just because you're on a roll here, so I don't want you to get caught up.
So they're on, I mean, they could be on any number of adventures. We'll just say that some agent has, or somebody has stolen Guinevere. Which is Drizzt Do'Urden's panther companion. And basically she's this little ox panther figurine. And he calls to her, and basically it's a totem he uses to summon her from the astral plane. So someone has stolen the totem, and he's going to get it back, and they've chased them to the Sigil City of Doors. And it could be that this person is actually an agent of the Squid God. I already forgot the name.
Nurgroth.
Nurgroth? Okay.
Yeah.
So, and so they have to, like, end up meeting up, and at first they're fighting each other because the Rat Queens come in possession of Guinevere. And then, you know, so Drizzt attacks them and goes, like, not even just like, oh, I'm Drizzt Do'Urden, and I'm going to, you know, I'm going to be all suave and or try and talk my way through this. He goes full berserker mode because this is Guinevere. This is Gwen. This is his baby. And so he goes full, like, berserker like he did in the first few books. And I think in a few of the later books, he in the mechanics of the D&D universe, he's a ranger. But during his time in the Underdark, after he was banished from his homeland, he he took a few levels in barbarian. So he has the ability, he goes into this berserker rage at times and just fuck shit up.
I like that.
So he ends up going to berserker rage and tries to kill them, and, like, Hannah's casting fucking spells and shit. And yeah, and they're fighting and everything, and then... you know, at the end, he's like, you know, I want Guinevere, like, give me the panther back. And they're like, what do you mean, this fucking statue? What are you talking about? She's like, what do you keep saying Guinevere? And then by saying the name, she summons the fucking panther.
And he's like,
Yeah.
Which would, they would act, that sounds like something that would happen to them. Like, they would just casually summon, you know, like, the familiar or whatever, and be like, oh, that's why it's important. You know?
And so then they have to team up in order to get the Rat Queens home. And he's got Guinevere back, so he's like, well, you know, we'll help you fight these agents who have teleported you here and get you guys back to, you know, your planet or whatever. And we'll go back to Abert Toril.
See, I like that. It works really well.
I should fucking... Okay, seriously. If any company wanting creative work done for them, fucking call me. This is the shit I think about when I'm in the shower.
Like, you don't need to write more. Like Batman says. Quit procrastinating. Work on your art.
Alright,
There you go. So that is the fantasy crossover we pitched, and what?
I just, like, it just all came pouring out. I just
Well, you know, it took something you were well versed with, and took something that was very easily accessible to mix it. And it, I think in this case, it worked really well. So I think if and when we play this game in the future, we'll allocate a little bit more time, because I feel like we could have. Not necessarily fleshed up, we could have done a little bit more things, but I like where this is going. I almost feel like at some point we should revisit this. Not necessarily just this game, but this particular team up.
You know? We could do a part two. We could do a part two episode. We bring them back.
No, exactly. We can, we'll, you know what? Before the end of the year, we'll do a part two. We'll take maybe the one or, like, the two or three best ones that we come up with and just do an episode based, like, each segment just like us pitching these stories.
Yeah, sounds good. I'm down for that.
All right, cool. So that is a fantasy crossover, and from what looks like it, I think it's going to be something, not every episode, but something that will be very commonplace. So hopefully you guys like it, and if not, well, fuck you.
All right, so we're gonna take another break, right?
Take another break, and then we're going to talk about the big news that happened last week was the Avengers 2 trailer.
Oh, hot damn.
Yes.
Bye, guys.
Hot damn indeed. That was another magical break that I don't know what it is right now, but when I make this episode, I will know, because I'll have made it.
We looked at Tumblr in the meantime.
Yeah. Surprisingly, we did not see any porn.
It's because I unfollowed all the people who post porn.
Damn it, Michael. Like,
you know, I was tired, because like every day...
You had one job.
That every day it was like that gift set of like when you open Tumblr in public and just like dildos are flying out at that like dude's face.
Yeah.
That was my life every day. I could not open my Tumblr at work because people standing behind me would be like, dude, why are you looking at dicks?
Why not? I mean, there are...
It reminds me of an interesting dream I had, but I'll tell you later.
Yeah, I don't need to hear about your penis sex dream. Anyway, speaking of penis sex dreams, Avengers 2 trailer.
Master of the Segway.
So that trailer came out, and I filled the cup.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You just jizzed all over?
Oh, you know how, that gif with the dildos? That was
you? It was just coming out of your pants?
Yeah.
Like you popped a boner so hard, it replicated itself into dildos, and it then exploded out at people and passerby.
Remember that time we went to the burlesque show with the confetti like thing, prosthetic like package on Arrow?
Oh yeah,
that's exactly what happened.
I forgot. That was like the lowest point of the night that I completely blocked that out of my memory.
That was the best part of the night.
No, I was like, it was entertaining and it was funny, but it was just like really like okay, you've done it. Like he did it the one time and it was funny, and then he kept doing it to like all over the place. I was like, it stopped being funny.
Then he came funny again. It was sexy, damn it. Stop hating on penises. Anyway.
They're ugly.
Yeah, they are pretty ugly. Some people like them. I'm not saying names, but some.
Some. You know who you are, you dirty little penis lovers.
You just see someone listening. Okay. Avengers 2.
That's right. Avengers 2
trailer. Age of Ultron. All right.
Age of Dicktron?
Dick of Agetron?
Dick of Agetron. Okay, so Hulkbuster armor.
Dickbuster armor.
Dickbuster armor.
No, okay. So the Hulkbuster armor was nuts.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
We've already got the seeds of Civil War going.
Ideally, yeah.
Yeah.
And so Captain America 3 shit going on.
Uh-huh.
So that's the big thing. It's just you see a lot of the Avengers at each other's throats, or at least at Tony's throat. Like, literally, Thor grabs Tony's throat at some point.
Did you notice that he didn't have his hammer for a lot of the trailer?
Yeah. Which is interesting.
And then did that little, like, thing of him going, "Aah!" in the bath?
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't a bath. He was, like, in a mountain stream or something, but...
It's a bath for him.
Yeah. So, do you think, they talked about it on Nerdist News, but it actually got me thinking, was that, like, do you think that Loki did something to make it so that he can't use Mjolnir anymore?
You know, I don't know if it's possible for Loki to necessarily, cast a spell to make him not be able to use it, but I feel like Loki could manipulate events to where Thor could do something to make himself unworthy of it.
That's true.
Yeah, so that could be the case. Or he could even do something on his own to be unworthy in the movie.
That's true.
Because you see him grabbing Tony's throat, that's not necessarily something that Thor would do, or should do, should he want to be worthy. We don't even know at what point that scene takes place in the movie, the whole throat. Yeah, that could be something early on.
That's true. And they also there's a scene where they're all looking out of like the top of the tower.
Yeah.
At something passing or coming through or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
There's a short woman with brown hair standing near Thor.
Yeah.
So do you think Jane's going to be in it?
No, they already broke up. They made it really... It was like a subtle thing.
She could be coming back.
She could be coming back, but I forget where I saw it, but they mentioned that they were done. I forget. It wasn't Thor 2, obviously. I just can't recall. I read it somewhere. I might have even just made it up. But I know that Natalie Portman's kind of like, eh.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Huh.
I know that, you see Thor 2, The Dark World?
No, I have not.
Then, at the after credits scene where he kisses Jane, it wasn't Natalie Portman, it was, what's his face? Chris Hemsworth's real life wife.
Oh, dang. Okay. Yeah.
So, I don't know, man.
Hmm.
I don't know. That's all I'm saying. But, anywho, back to Avengers 2. That could be plausible. It could be anybody. It could be Maria Hill. I mean, we're not sure. Like, they could easily be taking scenes that aren't even, like, that big of a deal, but the way it's presented, you think it's a big deal.
That's true.
You know? Which I wouldn't put him against them. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about something that is a big deal. There's no ifs and buts about this. Captain America's broken shield.
That's true, yeah. That was crazy.
So you have to wonder how it got broken, and how is that going to, like, play a big part in the story.
Well, you saw the scenes where they were fighting the Hydra soldiers in the forest.
Yeah, I saw
it. And Scarlet Witch is in this one.
Yeah.
So, and from what I understand, correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm not an encyclopedia like you are.
I wish I was an encyclopedia. I'm more of a Wikipedia article, but continue.
Her abilities center around changing reality.
Yeah.
So, it is conceivable that she changes a reality in which maybe the Nazis and Hydra win World War II.
Yeah.
And sends everyone to that reality.
Yeah.
For a little bit.
That's possible, because everyone keeps talking about, like, possible time travel, so that could be a theoretical situation.
And, like, if you look at the weapons that those guys were using, mm-hmm. some of the smaller soldiers look like they were using, like, MP40s and stuff, like, guns that you would, you know, find, or MP42, I forgot which one the Germans used,
yeah.
but, you know, that you would find, you know, circa 1940s.
Yeah.
So.
That's interesting. I did not notice that. I'm not a gun expert, though.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a very big possibility. I don't know how much they're going to do reality changing with her powers, because I feel like they don't want to make her extremely overpowered.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Maybe they might do it, but, like, she can only manipulate, like, to an extent for however long or what, or even maybe just, like, manipulate reality surrounding that person. So it's not necessarily, like, an illusion, but you're literally within, like, a living simulation of what, like, that could be.
True.
Like, we have no idea, like, how they're going to go with her powers in this. But those are both really interesting theories or possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that I enjoyed a lot was the excellent use of the Pinocchio music.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people were making fun of it on the internet, but I actually think it fit.
Well, it works with the character, because Ultron in himself was supposed to be, like, a servant.
Yeah.
You know, so the whole, I'm not a puppet, there's no strings on me, works really well with the character's M.O.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can make as many jokes as you want, but that fits perfectly.
Yeah, and especially with, you know, Disney being the parent company now, I think we're going to see a little bit more of that.
Possibly. I don't know. I feel like Disney knows to not overdo it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. We also saw Mark Ruffalo kind of, like, scared at one scene,
mm-hmm.
huddled up. We saw, like, Hulk trying to touch Scarlet Witch in, like, this peaceful moment with something.
No, that was...
Or Black Widow, my
bad. Yeah, Black Widow.
Yeah. So we saw that.
You also saw there was a quick scene with Quicksilver.
Yeah.
And he was running through, like, an area or a thing, and he was helping Cap.
Yeah.
He was, like, pulling him back into a thing as he was running past.
Yeah.
For, like, a second. So maybe they're not as,
Well, I mean, Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch end up becoming Avengers, like, after everyone but Cap leaves.
Oh, okay.
I think, like, the second, like... Or, like, okay... I think everyone leaves except for Cap, and then he recruits Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver and Hawkeye, and mm-hmm. so it becomes this huge controversial thing, because as far as, like, the regular Marvel Comic League universe goes, Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver are known to be the terrorists, offspring of the terrorist Magneto.
Yes.
So it's like, why are they with the Avengers? And then Hawkeye is, like, a reformed criminal, so it's like, he's taking all these people who are known to be bad people mm-hmm. and bringing them in the superhero ranks.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're going to become Avengers, obviously, but, like, I feel like what we're going to see is that they're not necessarily evil, they're just misguided or misled.
Okay. Yeah, well, I mean, they are being, you know, tortured and
yeah.
kept prisoner.
So, you know, obviously that's the easiest route to go. Our route makes most sense. I will say this much, I do not like the way Quicksilver looks here in comparison to how he looked in Days of Future Past.
Okay, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
I can see that his character design here is a little off. But, yeah. I mean...
It's more similar to what Pietro wears in the comics or cartoons,
mm-hmm.
To an extent. But I feel like, was it Evan Peters, or whoever played Quicksilver, made that, like, whole silver-haired look work really well.
Yeah.
You know? So what originally, like, in the promos looked goofy actually ended up working really well for what they wanted it to be.
Yeah.
So, who knows?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of what else was in there like that. I mean, it was just so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that scene at the end where Ultron is coming out all battered and broken. Well, and
isn't,
like,
that in the beginning? Or, like, towards the like, at least in the first half? Because the last scene you see him, he's, like, 100% built.
Yeah, well, that's what I think, is that that scene that it shows where he's all walking out all broken and messed up and talking crap to him,
yeah.
I think that's at the end of the movie.
I don't think that's at the end of the movie. I 100% do not think that's at the end of the movie. And the reason why I say that is because, well, James Spader said in an interview, you see an evolution from Ultron going from broken down robot to fully complete.
Oh.
Also, Ultron is made, well, in the comics, vibranium and adamantium, but in the movie, vibranium. So he's a near indestructible compound.
So yeah, it's true. And also, that's another point I want to touch on, is Andy Serkis's character.
Yeah.
If you look at the picture of him, like that flash of him, like looking up at the camera, kind of, and like he has that weird beard.
Yeah.
That's what's his face? Is it something Claw?
Yeah. Okay.
Black Panther's main villain.
Yeah. So there you go.
So I think they're gonna tie in Black Panther into this Avengers.
Yeah. Well, the rumor is that at the end of this Avengers, there's supposed to be like a split or some sorts where we're gonna see in an after credit scene or at some point, like Cap calling a new team of Avengers to assemble, and like the quote unquote people that are apparently supposed to be part of this team are Captain Marvel, Black Panther, Quicksilver, and Scarlet Witch.
Okay.
Oh, and War Machine. So it's like, well, if that's true, that would actually make a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would. The trailer's not even like over a minute long, is it?
It's 2:20.
2:20?
Yeah, it's fairly long.
But I mean, like, you know, all these quick little clips, I mean, there's so much that it's given us about what's going on in this next movie.
And apparently they're debuting more footage this week with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., because originally this trailer was supposed to be packaged with an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode, but it got leaked, so they pushed it ahead, and so they said, well, we still need to find a way to get people to watch this show, so let's put more stuff.
Yeah.
And so that's what they did. And that's actually airing today, and we are missing it. But that's cool. It'll show up online.
That's, you know, My grandparents started watching it, but they couldn't follow it because, you know, my grandparents.
Yeah.
And so they stopped watching
it. Where are the Knights of Columbus?
Yeah.
Would they not be involved, Michael?
Sometimes I wish that my grandpa, my grandpa's pretty sharp, but he does have his moments. But sometimes I wish that was one of his moments. Like, he was getting that old to the point where he thought the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. had to do something with, you know, a Catholic men's organization.
Yeah.
Like, of which he is a member.
Yeah.
That's the funny part.
Yes, well, Michael's grandpa is a very charming man.
He is. Yes. He's very, very talkative.
Yeah. And before we go into this 5-minute conversation about how charming and charismatic he is, we're going to call this episode a wrap.
Yeah.
We actually kept it underneath an hour.
Which is going to work well for us. Yeah. And so we're going to do some housekeeping stuff here at the end. If you guys... Oh, sorry, I clapped and the little thing turned red. if you want to follow us on Twitter, we are at Bludigin, BLUDIJIN, and at Wacky Mondo.
WACKYMONTO.
And then our Twitter is actually...
The MimoCast, all one word, TheMimoCast.
Yeah.
MOUSE.
Don't put the MOUSE. That's a completely different podcast.
Yeah. So you find us there. Also on Instagram, which we've been actually neglecting the Instagram, but we'll be using it a lot again this weekend at Kamikaze Expo.
Yep. So I know Mondo's definitely going to be there. I have to see if I'm going to be, my money situation works out to where I can be there.
Just pimp yourself out, Juice.
Yeah, because that's totally what I'm about. And also, if you are subscribed to us on iTunes, please do us a huge favor and leave us a review. It doesn't have to be 5 stars. But go ahead and leave us a review.
At least leave us more than one.
Yeah. Leave us a review, please. And, I mean, say, like, stupid shit. Like, it doesn't even have to make sense. Just be like, bananas. That's cool. Because the more reviews we get, the higher up in the rankings we go. And then that opens the possibility to more people listening to our podcast.
And pogs.
Yep. And if people listen to our podcast, it might make us so inclined to where we actually do a good job.
I wouldn't even say that. We would just, we would never do a good job, Michael. I'm on Twitter as we speak.
Earlier I was on Facebook.
Yeah, like we don't even care enough about our own show to like pay attention the whole way through.
But hey, yeah, so go ahead and hit us up on Twitter, hit us up on Instagram. It's the MimoCast on Instagram. You can find us on iTunes if you're not already subscribed, or if you're listening to this through one of our if you're listening to us through Racket, you know, we linked you on Facebook or something.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a wrap. Thank you guys for listening.
Before we go, what's that low price again?
And you can listen to us for only the low, low price of $9.99.
With a 6-month commitment.
Bye, guys. Say goodbye.